So I want to talk to you this morning about a measure of grace and faith. What are you doing with the measure of grace and faith that you've been given? Oh, you mean I've been given that? Yes. I'm going to show it to you this morning, but we all have been given a measure. We've been given a measure of grace and faith. Now, how we handle that is really between us and the Lord. And that's why He's keeping records. That's why He is keeping records. And that's why we have to stand before Him one day. And what's going to be against us is He's going to say, here's what I gave you in grace and faith, and here's what you did. And you need for that to sort of line up when we get to heaven, amen? That needs to line up, because if it doesn't, there'll be lost rewards and things. So let's talk about that this morning. And I want you to find in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now we're going to look at verses in 8, 9. I can't remember if I have some verses in chapter 10, but I know I have some in 11 and 12. So just put something there. There are a few other places that we're going to go quickly, but just put something there, because we're going to be in and out of that. And let's just read one verse, and then we're going to pray. It says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Father, we thank you for your word and how each part of your word helps to give us understanding as to what you want us to do and how you want us to react to the task that's been placed in our hands. We are all to be involved. We are one body in Christ. And help us to see how essential it is to our life to do our part. Now I pray you'll just bless us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want us to look at this real quick, because in chapter 8, Paul starts to challenge the Corinthian church. And the reason he's challenging them about this grace is because they're not fulfilling the commitment. They had made a promise. That's where we get faith promise, because they had made a promise. And they had made a commitment that they were going to do something, and now a year later, they still haven't done it. And there happened to be a very wealthy church. The church at Corinth was a wealthy church. And Paul talks about in chapter 8 that the churches in Macedonia were not wealthy. And that they were doing already what the Corinthians a year before had promised to do. And Paul's trying to encourage them to get busy and get involved. Because let's deal with this word, to wit. To wit. To wit means, if you look it up, it means mental sharpness. And keen, now listen to this, I like this part. Keen intelligence. That means that if we can just catch the concept of financing the plan of God that He's put in His Word, and if we just catch the concept that He has endowed every single one of us with a measure of grace and faith to perform it, that means we have mental sharpness and keen intelligence. And for me, at my age of 62, and I'm starting to forget some things, I like knowing that I have sharpness of mind. Amen? I like to know that I'm involved in something that, at least for the way God sees things, there's a sharpness in mind. And at least in that part, He sees me as being intelligent. Amen? So I'm glad about that. So it's important. And so He goes on, and He says how, and then He explains to them. He says how that in great trial and affliction, the abundance of their joy and the deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And so Paul says that the Macedonian church caught the understanding that God had given them the grace to perform that which was not possible for them to perform. And they accomplished it. And so it's understanding that when we're dealing with grace and faith, that is something that God does in the heart of each individual. It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing, okay, between you and God. It's not between you and a church member or you and another person or even between you and the pastor in this sense right here. This is something you do between you and God, because Paul says later, he said, I speak not as to commandment. So let's go on. Look at verse 7. Let's skip over to verse 7. It says, now remember, Paul's trying to straighten them out. He says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So now we see that Paul's alluding and explaining that this is based on grace. It's our grace that we be involved, because God has measured out grace to us to be involved. And it's by that grace that we pray and see the vision of God that we're supposed to perform. And that's what Paul's trying to tell them. You guys, you got this. This is not a competition. That's what he's trying to get them. It's not a competition. You're not competing with the churches in Macedonia. You need to carry out this grace that's between you and God. And you need to go ahead and perform it, because you've already told everybody what y'all are going to do. That if you study this, you'll find it. That's what he's getting on to them about, because they done boasted about it, what they were going to do, but they ain't done it yet. And so it's between you and God. It's special. Now, look what he says here in verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. And he said, Paul said to them, he said, listen, it's important that you perform what you committed. Because the sacrifice that we make for the cause of Christ, he's talking about the gospel, proves our sincerity. And so our grace given depends on what we love. If we love things, we will have lots of things. If we love God, our investment will be in the things of God, where only God can see. See, people can't see our investment into the things of God. And our investment of God is not trophies and things that we collect down here on earth. The things of God and what God sees is stored in heaven. And it's not wood, hay, and stubble. Because the wood, hay, and stubble is not going to get into the heaven account, except it's going to be demonstrated in what you build for God. We don't have time to go there today. But the precious stones and the silver and the gold will be presentable. And the Bible says God's going to test that with a fire. That means we're standing before God in the great, in the judgment seat of Christ, that great judgment seat of Christ. We as Christians will have our judgment in heaven, not down here. And he's going to, before he ever comes back to defend the Israelites, he's going to have his time with us in heaven. He's going to test our works. And he's going to check our works based on our measure of faith and our measure of grace. And whatever is left, we're going to cast it at the feet of Jesus. Because that's the proving of our sincerity, of our love to Him. You see, it's not about what we can have. It's about what we're going to be able to give to Him in appreciation and gratitude for what He's done for us. And so that's why He's given us a measure of grace and He's given us a measure of faith so that we can perform the doing of it. Let's go down. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Few pages over. 2 Corinthians 12. Now, Paul's writing here, and he's writing to the Corinthians. Again, he's in the process of trying to fix something with them. And he refers, because you know, if you know much about the book of Corinthians, at the church of Corinth, they would say, well, I'm of Apollos. And then some of them say, well, I'm of Jesus Christ. We're all of Jesus Christ, amen? But they would say that. They'd say, oh, you're of Apollos? I'm of Jesus Christ. And some would say, well, I'm of Paul. And so there was great division in understanding what it's all about. And Paul's trying to fix all this with these people. And he's trying to get them on the right course. So we see, it says, in verse 5, it says, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. So Paul is alluding to the fact, if you read the verses up above, and you can do that later at home, he's alluding to the fact that John received the book of Revelation from the Lord. And many people were just overwhelmed or in heaping, boastfulness over what John had received. And Paul said, "It's the glory's to God. It doesn't matter which person he chooses to do something. This all fits into one body. It's all about Christ. It's not about a man. It's about Christ. And so it's not about this group over here and that group over there. I found out something a long time ago in my ministry. I can get in all the battles, all the little battles, and I can sit down with the Word of God and I can show just about anybody why you shouldn't do this or why you shouldn't do that or why you shouldn't believe that. I can get into all those battles. I could get into the political battles, or I can realize one thing. And here's what I realized a long time ago. The change that needs to happen in this world is not going to happen because we get political groups to support what we believe. The change that's going to happen is because we win souls and we disciple people, and those people that we win put the right kind of people into office. That's how we're going to change it. But getting corrupt politicians from whatever side to side with us is not going to help our cause. It's not going to help us. We need to be busy about changing lives. And so Paul says, look, it's not about a man. It's not about this man or that man or this man. But here's what Paul goes on to say. In chapter 11, I want you to read it later. I'm not going to go into it today because we don't have time. But in chapter 11, in verses 23 through 28, Paul lists every single thing he went through. I mean, he talks about all of it. And he gives in detail a list of what he has had to go through for the sake of the gospel. And the list, when I read that list, and I read it often, I'm like, wow, Lord, you have put a hedge about me. You have had mercy on me. You have helped me not to see what this man had to see. And the gratitude and just being grateful that I did not have to face all those things. But look what he says in verse 6. Now remember, 2 Corinthians 11, 23-28. Read it sometime in your little notes you're making here. He says in verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool." Paul said, I'm not getting into a status. I'm not getting into who's better than who. He said, I'm not going to be a fool. And then he goes on to say, "For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." So Paul said, there's a lot of the things that I've gone through. Everybody knows what I've gone through. People have heard it. People have told about it. So he says in verse 7, he says, "And least I should be exalted above measure." Now I want you to circle that word measure. Because Paul realizes that there's a measure. There's a measure that he is to reach based on what the Lord has given him. He said, "Above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measure." So Paul said there is a certain measure. There's a certain process to where I can go in my life. And God has already predetermined that. He has given me the measure that I'm supposed to have. And I'll not exceed that measure in life. And he said, I won't go above that measure in my life. Now, did Paul know what his measure was? He just had to continue to work toward it. But he didn't know what it was. And look what he says in verse 8. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." So Paul said, I've been asking God to get that thing out of my life. Get these problems of this thorn that's used to buffet me, to keep me in the place that I'm supposed to be, to keep me from exceeding beyond that which I'm supposed to. Paul said, God has allowed this in my life. And he goes on to say here in verse 9, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." Aren't you glad that God's grace is sufficient? It's sufficient for us. It's not the grace that we possess from Him that's sufficient. It's God's grace. You don't know, and I don't know and understand the fullness of the measure that God's given us. But I'm telling you, He's given us one. And look what He goes on to say. He says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength does not hinge on the things I possess. My strength does not hinge on the fact that I finished and have a doctorate. That's not my strength. That's to the contrary. That's what makes me, if I don't be careful, makes me desire to go beyond the measure. It's not the accomplishments that is important in a man's life or a woman's life. It's all for God. It's not for us. It should be the driving force that we desire to please and do something special for God that keeps us on that track. And that's what Paul's saying here. And he said, "Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, do you know when you're most powerful in the things of God? When you think you're at the weakest place that you can be. That's when people can see the power of God on you. Because it's about God and it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the fact that we yield. That's what Paul's saying here. I would rather yield. I'd rather be in these infirmities. I would rather be going through these things. I'd rather be in a constant, weakened state so that the power of God can come through my life. And people's lives are changed. And as they hear my testimony and what I've gone through and what I've faced and the difficulties that I've had in this life, the power of God just comes out and changes life. Remember, I talked about the river that flows from our belly. That's what Paul's talking about. This is exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about the power of God that flows from us. When we're proud, when we're puffed up, when we think we're accomplishing great things, the power of God leaves. And it's all about us. And it doesn't mean that you're a pastor or assistant pastor or Sunday school teacher or a leader in the church. That happens to the average person. Because the more they have, the more they feel they don't need God. And though with their mouth they may talk about God, in their heart, they're very far from Him. We don't have time to go look at those scriptures. So Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Remember the verse in Philippians chapter 1, 29? He said, it's given unto us to suffer. Paul said, I welcome my infirmities because that's when I'm my best for my Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse, let's go over to Romans real quick. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, very, very familiar place in the Word of God. Let's go over there. Remember, we use that verse all the time, Romans chapter 12. Remember, it says, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Remember what it says? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Remember that. Let this mind be in you. By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, remember, prove the sincerity of your love. It doesn't say sincerity of your love right there, but it says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But now the verse I want us to look at is number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me. Circle that word. Grace given unto me. Grace given unto me. God has given you grace. But look what it says here. It says, unto me, to every man that is among you. Paul said, don't get confused when I say grace given unto me, because it's to every man among you. Every single one of us have a measure of grace. We have a measure of grace. What are we doing with our measure of grace? Can people see that measure of grace and faith in our life? Do they see it? It's important. So Paul is just trying to get them to get on board. Look what it says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Circle, measure of faith. Measure of grace, measure of faith. Paul said, we all have a measure. It's a measure of grace and faith. It's been given to us because God has a plan. And the plan that God has for our life is based on what He has given us the power to do. And it's based on a measure of faith and a measure of grace. How are we doing with that measure? How's that measure of grace working for us? And how's that measure of grace being demonstrated, that measure of faith? Do people see it? Do the effects of it on our life affect others? Let's go on. Look at verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." Now, Paul explains to them, hey, you're not all preachers. You're not all assistants to the pastors. You're not all deacons. You're not all Sunday school teachers. Your grace and your faith is to fuel the work of God in some capacity, whether it be going and visiting and encouraging people, whether it be finding a new person that walks through the door at the church and saying, you know what, I'm not going to sit in my assigned seat this Sunday. I'm going to go over here and sit beside this new person visiting church. I'm just going to love on them. And before they leave, they're going to know that our church is the best church in this county. I'm going to take it a step further because I'm going to take them out to lunch after church and I'm paying for it. Well, the amen slowed down right there, brother. Lord, say amen on that. Lord, say amen on that. Time invested into a lost soul. It's time investing in eternal glories in heaven. Paul said, look, we're not all the same office. He said, we're not all. He says, look there. He says, in verse 6, he says, in verse 5, he says, so we being many are one body in Christ and every one members of one another. We are, listen, in the Dominican Republic, you're connected. We're just one. You take all the local churches across all the world and you just put them into one pot because that's the body of Christ. This is a portion within the body of Christ. And it's one body. It's one body. You govern and run this local church based on the Word of God, but it's one body. Working together based on the measure of grace and faith that each one has received. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Circle that. According to the grace. Where does the grace come from? God. Given to us. It's been measured. We all have it. Now, I don't know what Pastor Ryan's measure of grace is. I don't even know what my measure of grace is. I just know that I have it. And I know that I need to work at it. I need to work at that measure of grace and that measure of faith like I don't have any end of it. And if I get beyond it, the Lord will let me know. He'll stop me. He'll put a roadblock in there. I had a church call several years ago. Big church. They were over 1,000. And they said, "Bro, Audrey, we just think it's God's will you come here and be our pastor." I said, "Well, God didn't tell me that." I said, "Now listen, bro, I'm going to be honest with you right off the bat. You need to find somebody else. Because God called me to the Dominican Republic. And He has not given me any indication that I can go anywhere else. So you're wasting your time. There's nothing you can say to me." I said, "You can pray. And if God wakes me up in the middle of the night and tells me I want you to go," I said, "I'll go. I'll come. But I'm telling you right now, God has made it clear to me that this is my life work. And this is what I have to do." See, I know what God's told me to do. That's what Paul is telling me. God tells you what you're supposed to do. You just got to do it. He said, according to the grace that is given to us. And then he goes through all the different possibilities. You know, he talks about prophecy. He talks about prophesying in proportion. He talks about faith. Okay, he talks about ministry in verse 7. He talks about teaching, okay, in verse 7. He goes on, and he's mentioning the things that are possibilities. He goes on and he talks about exhorting in verse 8. He says, he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth. He talks about giving. He talks about giving. He said, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Wow. I mean, it just about covers everything, doesn't it? Also, we all have a measure of grace that's been given to us. And we're all part of the body. And we're all part of the performing of it. And we won't turn there because we don't have much time. Ephesians 4:7. What time did you tell me we had to be done by? Well, we're going to go to 20 after. We're rushing, bro. 4:7. But unto every man, in verse 7 of Ephesians 4:7. Write that down. Ephesians 4:7. But unto every man, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Again. So, every one of us. It's clear. We have a measure. What are we doing with our measure? We all have a measure of grace and faith that is to be used for the furtherance of the gospel. And God expects us to use it to the fullest that it was meant for. God gave it. It's a gift. It's special. And we're to use it. Now, if we go, we don't have time, but if you mark this down, write this little note here in Ephesians 4:14 through 16. It goes on, it talks more about how we're working together in the body of Christ. In verse 14, it talks about not being tossed to and fro. It talks about not being deceived, not getting confused. In verse 15, it talks about that we are to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about in verse 16 that we are a body fitly joined together and compacted by that which the joints supply according to the effectual working. Circle that in verse 16. According to that of the effectual working in the measure of every part. So, all of the measure and faith is all connected into the one body. That means if we don't do our part, what happens to the body? It suffers. It suffers. And we don't want the body to be suffering. So we need to know that we need to do our part. Making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Love means being generous, means being merciful, it means being compassionate, it means to be helpful, it means to look for ways to facilitate another person's life. That's what it's talking about. And when we perform the measure of grace that we have in faith, those things happen. Look at verse 2 Corinthians chapter 10 right quick, and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, but we will not boast of things without measure. According to the measure of the rule which God has distributed to us. Okay? Well, this verse is just full of measures, isn't it? A measure to reach even unto you. Paul said, we're not here to be about ourselves. We're here because God gave us a measure to get here. We're supposed to be here. Whether you realize it or not, God has sent us here. He gave us a measure to get here. Look what he says in verse 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Our measure should take us exactly where we're supposed to be in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. That's our task. That's our task. And so he wants us to be performing it. Now I want to just quickly let me share. Go over to 2 Corinthians 8. We're just going to read through two section verses. I'm not going to comment on them because we're trying to get done. But sometimes you know there's just not enough time. But anyway, you write them down, okay? 2 Corinthians 8, verses 10 through 12. It says, and herein I give my advice. Remember, he's trying to fix the Corinthian church. He said, I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. He said, you're a year late on your commitment. He said, you know, you guys started out and you got everybody excited about it, but you still ain't done it. And you're a year late. And then he says in verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So Paul said, look, if you don't want to get to the level of the grace of God in your life and faith, then just do something. Do something. That's what he said. That's what he's telling. He said, you know, quit playing guy with God. You need to do something, Corinthian, because you told over a year ago you were going to do something. You're not doing it. And don't, he said, listen, this is between you and God. So do something, because God's watching. Do something. And then the last verses 9, verse 6 through 8. Make a note there, please. He said, but this I say, that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth two pages there, bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, circle that word, grace. God is able to make all grace abound unto you, toward you, that ye also having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. So we have the ability. We all have the ability. We all have a measure of grace and faith to do something. And that's what Paul's talking about here. If you can't get to the level of faith, he said, then you need to have a talk with God and do something. But don't do nothing. That's what he says. Don't do nothing. Do something. And if you're already doing something, then you need to say, okay, Lord, I've done this in the past, but I know that I have grace and faith that you've given me, so let me know what I need to do this time. Because God, I know that your grace for me, and I know the faith has grown since last year. Because a Christian grows, right? And a Christian gets more mature. And as a Christian gets more mature, they set aside some things. And they put that milk aside and they say, hey, I think I'd rather have a piece of steak today. I want some steak. I want some potatoes, okay? Okay, give the milk to the kids. I'm not in the milk anymore. So grow. Remember, to wit means sharpness, intelligence. God has an army that is sharp and intelligent. And we need to make sure we perform that in this Christian life. I went over a little bit faster, I'm sorry about that.